She's Not Starting Over No More, episode number 47. Today's episode of the Keep It 100 Girls Show is brought to you by Target. Boy, Target has a lot going on this week, people. If you love the kitchen, this one is especially for you. Target is offering 20% off kitchen items using the code KITCHEN, starting on September 25th through October 1st. Fall is officially here, so prepare for the sweater weather with 30% off men's, women's, and kids' outerwear when you use the code FALL30 at checkout. Speaking of cool codes, Target is also offering 25%, and you heard it here, and an extra 10% off home items with the code FALLHOME. Are you ready for another one? Because Target is giving 30% off bedding starting September 25th through the 26th only. And if Halloween decorations is your jam, you don't want to miss out either. For easy access, find the Target shopping link to these sales located in the show notes. You can find them right there on your phone or even your desktop when you click the three dots where it says the episode title, and it's going to pull up a bunch of choices. You're going to select View Full Description. And voila, scroll through the notes and find the Target shopping link. Otherwise, just head on over to ninababel.com/podcast. And you're going to look for that Target shopping link located under episode number 47. Welcome back to another edition of the Keep It 100 Girl podcast. As always, thanks for listening in this week and joining me this Tuesday. Live from Washington, D.C., I'm your host, Nina Babel. And if you're joining for the first time, I hope both women and always you men celebrate embarrassment in their lives. This is where I get both men and women to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, even if it's totally embarrassing or super cray-cray. People want it. They want it raw and they want it real. The more edgier I get, seems like you guys like it. And if you have any edgy suggestions, of course, you can hit me up on social media or my direct email, which I'll give you near to the end of the episode. Girly Nation, are you ready to keep it 100? My hand is raised. How about yours?
Are you ready to keep it 100?
Ready to keep it 100, girl.
Oh, Nina, I keep it 100, baby.
Yes, I'm ready to keep it 100.
I'm ready to keep it 100, girl.
You know I'm going to keep it 100.
In last week's episode, I got both men and women to share condom excuses that you men use. And you know what? I gave the women the girl code responses they need to tattoo in their brain. I gave some reverse psychology BS by sharing my don't be fooled tactics used by men, because some of them just get away with it. Next, my morning sip episode was one of my vacation shenanigans, featuring myself, my BFF, and the taxi driver with our taxi cab confessions. Not only did we discover we are all Scorpios in the car, but it turned out to be a candid, fun, unfiltered conversation on the intensity and the reality of emotions related to relationships. So take a listen. But fast forward to today, I have a monthly spotlight on Leslie Maisha Michelle Johnson, who was born and raised in the DC area, and she describes her life more of a horror story than fairy tale.
It's keeping it really 100, okay?
Yeah, keep it 100.
Look at here, man. Look, bruh. Why won't you? When I got pregnant, I was 16. So when I had him, I was 17. That was the phase of my life, my 20s, I was scared to be alone. My behavior looked as though I was acting out to be bad, but it was actually me saying, get me out of this. I don't want this. You know, can I just wake up and the dream is over? I gotta get out of here.
This episode is a reminder that, you know what, the most painful, embarrassing times in our lives can really inspire us to make and do powerful, positive changes in our lives. And as you listen, remember, shame is not true. It really isn't. We're going to have some mini deep conversations that take a tailspin of many twists and embarrassing turns in the wrong direction. I'll be honest, it gets heavy at times. What I appreciate about Maisha is how unafraid she is to talk, her desire to impact singles of today and show them that without God, you cannot do anything to fulfill your purpose. She became a nurturing savior to the wrong men in her life. And if you have self-esteem, identity issues, been a victim of abuse, teenage pregnancy, single motherhood, suicide, or had those exposures to drugs and alcohol, then you're going to be able to relate. But we need to know this little girl first. As I preach and tell you guys, we are a product of our environment, and we need to understand her beginnings and what she was taught and not taught.
I was definitely lost in my visions, lost in my dreams, but the base of me was wondering, like I said in my story, how come I couldn't have what my visions and my heart were saying I should have for a family? I had the two parents, so I had what society said should be, but I knew outside of my own wisdom that I really don't have it because I didn't have the support that I felt a father should have. Like, we didn't go on father-daughter dates. I wasn't taught that when a man does something or he handles you a certain way, that's inappropriate. I wasn't taught that I was more than my looks. I wasn't taught to use my brain first versus my mouth.
According to Maisha, she raised her parents. She was adulting from the age of 7 years old.
It wasn't a real father-daughter relationship. It was more of a daughter-father relationship. I became his adult, if that makes sense. Like I said in my story, I was the one raising my parents.
Oh, so from an early age?
Yes. Yeah, we can say as early as 7 that I can remember, because my father was in and out of jail after the age of... Let's start from the beginning. So from what I know, my mom and my dad told me eventually, because I had to get into them, they were married. So they did have me inside of a marriage. I wasn't born outside of marriage, which is awesome. But my father, who suffered with identity issues himself, he got caught up in the life of drugs and money because he's originally from Jersey.
Okay.
So, you know, Jersey is fast, fast, fast.
Yeah.
So moving from Jersey to D.C. is like, no, this is too slow. So he was already lost. And so my mother, being from D.C., and her lifestyle was already abused, already druggish, already alcohol. Not from my mother personally, but from my mother's side of the family.
Okay.
So putting those two together, now that I'm older, I can say that it was terrible. Because my father had identity issues, so he was trying to find himself by getting into different groups to be accepted. And which led him to the drug life. Because he was dealing with drug life with money, people will accept me and I'll be somebody. With my mother, it was more so I don't have a voice. You know, I'm getting treated differently because of how I'm raised, or there's already a lot of abuse. I can't speak my mind, but I'm expected to do good, if that makes sense.
She has no siblings, and she's thankful for that.
I'm only child. I tell everybody now, thank God, because I wouldn't want nobody else to go through what I had to go through.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, for siblings. So growing into that, I was just like, okay, whatever. You know, I have my two parents. This is going to be great. My parents divorced when I was 3, from both of them being honest with me. And in that, you know, I'm like, all right, whatever. I still have my parents.
Growing up with her parents... At an early age, her mind was telling her parents were not parents whatsoever, but big kids.
So, of course, he would come get me, brush my hair, take me out to go see his friends and his family. But it was never, hey, let me and my daughter have that intimate time where I can really educate her and give her my love and plant the correct seed for her.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, let me just take her around because she's a big doll baby and she's cute. My mother, her mindset at the time was, you know, I'm a single mom, so I gotta work, 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 work. So we've never had that relationship where we went out, she understood who I was or helped me to develop all the stuff that was starting to grow in me. And so therefore we never had, even, you know, we still have issues today where she knew who I was and knew what was in me and knew what was coming through me. So we were very distant. So both of my parents, I'm just in the middle and I'm just like, yeah, my mom and my dad, but I didn't have that respect for them.
Abuse. There's nothing more embarrassing than being a victim of abuse for no legit reason. No child deserves this.
I had a lot of abuse. from my mom, from my grandmother, mainly my mother's side, did a lot of abusing towards me because I wasn't that kid that really liked to, I guess they said I couldn't be controlled.
Maisha said that she was that why child that was just trying to express herself and ask questions like most innocent children do.
Could you explain to me why you said that? Being rude, I was saying, well, I don't understand.
Maisha explains how the why kid became the introvert.
Back when we were growing up, it was, no, that's it. Don't ask anything else. But my maturity was like, but see, that's not really it. And I didn't know at 6 and 7 and 10 that, you know, you don't say that to adults. My mind was just saying, I know there's something else. I just want you to teach me. So therefore I can go. But it was like, even then, without me knowing that that's what my brain was doing, people were trying to keep me suppressed. So I became introvert. And then my introvert would be, if someone yelled at me, if someone were aggressive with me, I wouldn't talk. I would shut down. I would just cry. And so I got abused for that. So, wow.
It's okay. You let it out. Don't fight it.
I do that a lot.
The abuse was physical. She had anger issues as a result and didn't really know why.
I'm a kid, or I'm going to say I'm a young adult. I didn't really have much to be mad about.
Right.
I'm like, there's something that I'm connected to that's not making sense for me, because when I'm away from this, everybody says, oh my God, you're the best friend. I'm so loyal. I'm so dedicated. I love people. But it's like when I got closer to my home, it was like, I felt it, you know what I mean? And then I didn't want to unconsciously become bipolar, because what will happen is, to save a very dark place of you, you will shield into another person.
Yes.
And then over time, the brain will say, okay, do this, do that. And then one day, because it's a muscle, it can get confused, and that's when you have the different personalities. Like, this is how much work I've done with myself. And so at that phase in my life, I said, look, you two need to get some help. I'm not your parent. You cannot do this. I will not do this. I am an adult. Respect me as an adult. No disrespect to you as my parent, but right now we're talking as Maisha to Cricket and Maisha to Michael.
Her father was in jail, and now she had a stepfather to answer to.
The abuse was happening. Oh, let's see, the first time I realized it happened from my mom. Of course, this was probably like when she got married to my stepfather. I think it got really, really bad then, because, again, my father was in jail, and I never understood why I didn't have that relationship. So I'm just a kid who's going to school right now. I got this stepfather. I don't even know you, you know. Now you're trying to tell me what I can and can't do, which I've never had the structure. So I'm like, that's not a good way to come in with a strong-willed kid who's had to defend herself so long. You don't come in and tell me this is what has to happen. This has to happen, and no. I'm like, well, first, do you even know me before you try to set these weird boundaries? Because I'm not even a bad kid.
Pregnancy was not her plan, but it turned into her way out.
I just got that way. I probably got, the sad thing about it is so sad. I hate it because I felt so terrible. I felt like a stereotype. Was I really started to, I got out once I had my son. Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. Let it out if you have to. Because I know I'll be right there in a second.
Yeah, because for me, that was not my plan.
I know. It's never anybody's plan to do that.
Yeah, so when I had my son, it was like I got more independence, because it felt like my family was like, yeah, we achieved our goal. She got a kid now, so she's not going to be anything.
She didn't know anything about birth control.
I didn't know anything about it because I didn't think about having sex. Yeah. That was never on my mind. So that whole, you know, birth control, condoms and all that, that was never on my mind. My mind was books, money, law school, get rich.
She graduated from high school, was in college, and worked 2 to 3 jobs, plus living on her own.
I stuffed money in boxes so that when I got that call, I was out. Like, literally, I called my extended, my godbrothers at the time, and said, hey, I need to move now. Like, I didn't even have a mother. And they were like, right now, I said, yeah, I got my keys. I don't even take anything but my clothes, and I need to get out of here. We slept in my apartment probably for like maybe a week almost with nothing.
Now in her 20s, Maisha's life turned hectic. In her 20s, she was searching for a safe place just to be herself.
Because I was just, again, still searching for, unconsciously, searching for that type of love, that safe love where I could just be myself with someone. And I knew that they were supportive of me. They would also put back into me what I thought I needed to keep moving higher. It's like you needed someone to be that secret support so that you can keep pushing. My 20s were terrible for me now that I know and understand a lot more. I won't say I was searching for myself. I was searching for a safe place to be myself because I already knew who I was. I knew who I was before I was 10, literally, because the way I would have conversations, I could tell you, you know, whatever. But I had a gift, and I still have it, and it's very intense. It's called the gift of discernment and the gift of seeing. So in my 20s, it was like I didn't have the mature understanding of what the gift was at the time. Mm-hmm. So I would see my future, and I'm like, oh, great, this is about to happen. And I would talk too much. And I would talk to people who I didn't know understood my gift. And they knew what I had, but I didn't know. So again, it was a lack of, at that time, I want to say spiritual mature. Because like I said, I'm embedded in church. So I'm like, oh my gosh, so this happened in my life. It's about to happen right now. I got to do this and that. And I'm like, how do you know that? I'm like, I just see it. You know, me being, again, spiritually immature. I was speaking too soon of the visions that God was giving me. And the people that are around me that knew of the spiritual level start to P-R-E-Y on me. And therefore,
what was that?
P-R-E-Y, pray.
Oh.
I was like, The other men in her life.
I never claimed my son's father as a relationship or my boyfriend or anything like that. I say that was a situation that happened because I was just a young girl being wild. Honestly, being disobedient, you know, people told me not to deal with him. I was like, whatever, you know. I dealt with him, even people in the school. I came to a new junior high school. I was at Dale Junior High, and I was new to the school, but the kids knew him. They were like, no, you know, you're better than him. We don't even know you, but we know that he's beneath you. Like, please don't do that. He's nothing. He will ruin your life. I'm like, how can y'all judge somebody? You know, me being in the clouds, being retarded. I'm like, he doesn't look that bad. They're like, Maisha, we know him.
Was he a bad boy? Was he?
No, he was a phony bad boy. You know, he had the mother and father household. He had the good household. He just was looking for unnecessary attention to try to fit in. So he had identity issues as well. And so, you know, me too, identity, lost kids. And again, I will always say spirituality has a lot to do with some things. But I don't want to say he preyed on me, but he definitely approached me more than I approached him. I was never an approacher to a guy. That was always in my mental standards that I'm not chasing a dude.
Exactly. He pursued you.
Right. And of course, I was like, well, he's giving me attention, so I'm going to feed into it. Right. We hung out, stupid late night hours. I mean, 2 o'clock in the morning, young kids at the Metro bus, you know, missing buses. Because I thought I was in love. And so we're sitting at the bus stop like 2 o'clock in the morning, bus is going by. I'm just like, no, I don't want to go home yet.
What's
or whatever.
Your definition of love?
Today, my definition of love is it's action. It's definitely doing far more than you would do for yourself without expecting a reward.
And what was it when you were 16?
Saying nice things to me, holding my hand. Giving me attention, just sitting there and listening to me. Because my thing was no one would listen to me.
Her real weakness was relationships with males.
My weakness was relationship with male because my father never gave me that. So, and time, not physical, because I wasn't really that big on it. But if someone hugged me a little bit and said, oh my God, you know, I just want to hug you. I'm like, oh, really? You know? Lost.
The relationship was over when she had her son.
When I finally broke away from it, it was terrible. It didn't really come physically abusive until I was leaving. So, and that's when I was like, yeah.
How long were you with him?
Tenth grade. 11th grade. We broke up before I graduated high school. We were over when I had my son.
Okay.
And I'm in 9th grade, so probably the summer, literally right after I had my son, I got pregnant, it was over. Okay. Like, literally, it was over. He came to the hospital and was like, oh, yeah, I need a DNA test. And I was like, yeah, it's over.
She wanted to go to the library to study for a test. She asked her son's father to watch their son. And you know what he said? He wasn't doing it.
She really is getting back on her P's and Q's. And I can't stop her. You know what I mean? So it became for him, what I'm seeing, what I understand now today, was a sense of loss of control of ruining my life. Because he was not a part of me going up. He wanted me to be a loser. We're over. Like, we had been over for probably like almost, obviously, my son was probably like 4. So I'm like, dude, fall back. You ain't got no reason to be. I never was that mother of a child who called and harassed about money, diapers, formula. Never. I was a mother that said, okay, I know what this is. I got to get on my grind. End of story. Yes, I took him to court to get legal custody because I was brain smart. I knew what it meant to have that. So I definitely got legal custody. So, you know, I have sole custody. I make all the decisions. You can have the visitation. I'm not tripping off of that. I just want to raise him right.
When it all started for Maisha.
I was in my truck. So it wasn't like I knew when you break with someone, you never go on their territory. I knew that. So I was just outside across the street. Like, I was doing all the legal stuff to cause no drama, and he caused drama. And what happened in that process, too, is he says, when I put my brake line from under my truck. And I was like, for what? I just want you to watch your son so I can go to the library. And so he proceeded to put my brake line, and I shifted my gear so I could, you know, I said, get from under my car. I don't want no problem. I want to get away. And that's when he pulled my door open. I didn't lock my door. And that's when he began to beat on me. Like I said, his family didn't come out to help. They heard me screaming. So if his neighbor didn't come and yank him up off me and say, the neighbor said to him, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
Right.
And his brain cell was, he was in a rage because honestly, I was gone. It was over. And I was serious. And I didn't have no grief about you. I didn't want nothing to do with you. I just want you to take care of your son. And let me move on to progress so I can make sure he will never be like this.
Right.
That was my brain.
So the next clip, you'll learn more about the dynamic for a woman when it comes to ending a relationship. Maisha claims that she's able to detach from someone easily. It's natural, and it's something that she learned from her childhood.
I think that's another thing that hurts men when they try to chop a woman down, when they don't understand the mechanism in some women that say, when it's over,
over.
You can't. I don't hate you. I don't want nothing to do with you. Just go.
Yeah.
And I'm okay. If you date somebody else, trust me, they'll never be me. So I don't care.
There's nothing like the smell of new love. His name is Dominique. It was his energy that drew Maisha to this guy that she went to high school with.
Meek? I was like, okay, whatever. He was like, yeah, what's up? Gave me a hug. And I was like, whoa. You know, that was my first inhalance of, this smells like a nice person. You know, again, it was all energy for me. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm home from school, whatever. You know, it was like that story tale where you separate from somebody in high school and then y'all see each other in this weird spot. And then, you know, hey, home from high school, home from college. And I'm like, all right, whatever. So long story short, we started to hang like friends. I mean, hang tough.
Being friends was their foundation to their relationship.
We were friends for a very long time. We had a strong friendship foundation. Again, we just chill each other. Like, we spent the night like we was in high school chilling, and our parents were cool. You know, I went to work, and I supported him in college. He supported me in college, and he started to take a liking to my son. I was like, yeah, wait a minute, that's a sensitive spot for me. And so we just really hung like friends. It was a safe. That became my first safety mechanism or safe place.
She knew it was love.
That was the only, my first taste of relationship love.
How long would you say you were friends with him before you decided to become his girlfriend?
We were friends for probably like a couple months. It was like, I'll never forget, it was, I want to say August to October. Yeah, October we became official.
And do you find yourself the type of girl that gets attached early, or like you build up, you have this Teflon Don about you that you're not trying to go there unless someone brings it up? Or you want girls, because you don't sound like one of those girls like, am I your girl or what? Or do we need to have that conversation?
Mm-hmm. Then I wasn't.
Okay.
Then it was, all right, we're cool. All right, cool. Get it together. All right, that's what's up.
Right.
Because, again, I was so detached from the thought of it. I was like, it's my friend, and now we're in a relationship, and it feels the same, so I feel good. Ain't no stress, you know, about the title.
Right.
It was awesome. I won't lie. That relationship was awesome. It was awesome. I mean,
what did you love about it?
He was my friend. Yeah.
That's important to you.
Yeah. He was definitely a friend. He supported me. He definitely was a protector. He knew firsthand everything I went through with my son's father. He's the only person that ever touched my son. That's why I'm so soggy right now. He basically raised my son.
Okay.
So him and my son had that father-son bond. It was hard.
But things changed. Insecurities increased. And they had an altercation, something that she's too familiar with. And then lastly, he cheated.
One thing I do have in me is a gene to know when someone's lying. I have that thing in my body that is just like, it's not, people say, oh, it's your conscience. No, it's a spiritual gift. I've had it since I was a kid because, again, I deal with my father lying to me so much, my mother, my grandmother. So it's like, I had the BS detector. Yeah. And especially when I was embedded with a person, if you don't get, when you're really in tune with someone spiritually, emotionally, physically, you know them.
Right.
So if anything changes in their routine, something is wrong.
She knew it, but she was scared, like most women, to lose what you think your mind is telling you is a good relationship, and you're going off based on emotion.
I knew it. And so, because I was scared to lose what I thought was the best thing to me at that time, I kept it inside and went to wait a little bit more to get some. Then the smart side of me said, wait till you get a little bit more evidence, because you don't want to act off emotion and he think you're crazy, you ruin it, you know?
Right.
I was the only person that was talking to myself.
Right. Right.
And so I got confirmation and I said, okay, what do I do? How bad do you want it? And is it worth it? Think about 10 years from now, is it worth it? Like, I had to put this into myself. And I'm saying to him, you know, why? Because I am that person that if you talk to me, I mean, be so honest that the bottom of your stomach is hurting. I can feel when you're lying. I can feel when you're being genuine with me. Then I can deal with you. We can move past it. But if you're lying to me over top of lies, you know I know the truth.
Yeah.
I gotta get out.
Every girl says this once in her life. She thought Dominique was the one.
Of course. We were in premarital classes.
Oh.
We were actually about to take that next step. We were going to get married. It was that. It was, we had passed all the other levels. You know, we went through the battles of insecurities. We went through the battles of fighting. We went through the battles of I'm not sure about money and all that. Like, we supported each other. When I say there's nothing, like, even to this day, well, now it's different now, you know, cut off. Back then, there was nothing he did not know. He knew about my dirty t-shirts with sweat stains on them. Like, he knew, okay? He knew about my time of the month. We were that embedded in each other, okay?
She enlisted her male cousin just to go to this party with her. She needed closure, and this was the way to do it.
Let me know what she looks like. I already know that she exists. My dream told me that she exists. My body's telling me that she exists. His behavior is telling me that she exists, because he's not this type of guy. He's not built for cheating. He's not. And so I said, okay. So I looked at him outside the party, and I said, for real? This is where we at? Like, you know, for real? And I walked away, because he wouldn't let me into the party. And I'm like, what? At first I was like, what? And he let my cousin go. And I was like, you know what to do. Right. And so I was just like, do you know how obvious that makes you look that you're cheating? Mm-hmm. You don't play it off. Right. Thank you for confirming. So what I did was I began to form a safety escape plan. This is what I teach certain people that are obedient enough to listen. You never let the man know you have all the cards. You never let him know you know everything. You just say, okay, do your regular routine, still be nice, but at the end of the day, you need to have that one conversation that says, okay, this is why I'm leaving. But if you know he's an irate physical guy, you just leave. And you don't tell him where you are. You don't ever pick the phone up.
How did Dominique explain the infidelity? Maisha's going to tell you.
He was never that guy. He allowed the people around him, because of how I reacted to that, he allowed them to put him in a place of, yeah, she is wrong. Yeah, she is crazy. Yeah, you know, because she got this going on her family. So he began to use what I told him as his safety mechanism to walk away from facing what he had caused. And I was like, he cheated, y'all. They were like, me? I was like, he's a man. What's the difference? You know, they had put him so up here. I'm like, y'all know he's still human.
Yeah, you're the man.
I won't. So the puzzle to how he cheated was what really took me off, which we'll get to. But yeah, we officially broke it off. I was like, yo, you got a girl. You know, I'm very respectful. I've always had this thing, it never changes. If you have a female, don't talk to me. If you have a girlfriend that's who's in your space, you go get your advice from her.
Yeah.
I don't break up homes. I don't break a relationship. I don't care what you say it is.
Right.
I've been on both sides now.
Right.
So I'm going to respect and say, I don't want no curses coming to my future marriage. So you take that over there. Mm-hmm. We will not have any conversations. And unless she knows that we're talking, we can't talk.
Dominique got married. Maisha knew, but her son found out via social media.
He is turning into Dominique. And so what I said was, okay, God, this can work for our good. So I allowed him to keep that relationship. But I told Javon, you know, he's getting married. You know, he has another family coming along. And we have to respect his choice because we don't want to curse for something good that's coming for us.
Yeah.
And he was like, all right, cool. But, you know, I wish he would have told me. I said, babe, I understand. I understand. But you got to understand, too, that he's not obligated to do that for us. But if he doesn't think out of his heart he should, we can't expect people to think the way we think. You know, so I had to break all it down to my son. But luckily, he's one of those, like, I get it. You know, but he was hurt, you know, because he found out via social media that Dominique got married.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, he told me. I already knew. He said, did you know he got married on us? I was like, it's not on us. But I get it. You know, he still was like, he belong over here.
Maisha took a 4-year break from dating.
I took a break from dating, obviously, after dealing with Dominique. We broke up in 2007. I took a 4-year break from dating because I knew healthy wise I needed to get myself together, and whatever God was about to do, I didn't want to miss it.
So I asked her what dating is, what it means to her at this stage of her life.
You're getting to know my parents. We're going out to the movies. We're having nice times in a park where we're not, you know, so focused on being physically active. Dating is getting to actually be a friend with someone. Dating is getting to know the person, you know, and that's what Dominique and I did, like, from day one, you know, even to the point where, kind of weird, but we asked if we wanted to have sex with each other. Like, it wasn't, you know, we went out, we had dinner, now I'm supposed to have sex. Like, we had all those levels that were healthy to make it safe to do all these things, you know. So he's the only guy that I've dated. He's the only guy that has made it through the healthy transition.
The jump off. These were Maisha's rules.
I messed around. I did. But I never let no one ever back into my secret. Like, no one would ever get past the shield. You would always get the mean meat. And then I would be a little nice just to be physical with you. Like, I knew what I was doing.
So what was messing around in your world? Is it just like a needs thing? Like,
messing around back in our day was, what's up? We hang out, all right, cool. We go to the movies and then we go home, go to your house, or go to my house, and we have sex.
And then you go your way, I go mine.
Yep, definitely. Yeah. But because of the brain set mindset. The mindset I was in, I was very bold with it to guys. I'm like, look, I'm not really looking to be with you. Right. So we chill, and it happened. I'm going home because I'm going to take care of my son. You know what it is. Just keep it real. If you're not really trying to be with me, I can smell it. So if you want to go to the movies, cool. I'll go to the movies. If sex happens, it's because I wanted it to happen, not because you wanted it to happen. But I'm going home.
Right.
And so I became a dude in a female body for a couple of years. Yeah. Honestly, right. I became ruthless. Like, I was just like, look, like, what's good? You know? And they were just like, you know, who is the guy here? And I'm like, wait. You're taking too long. It doesn't take this long to get, you know, hurry up, because I'm over it, you know? And that's because I was numb. Because I was like, if Dominique was the best thing and it became the worst thing, I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it looks like now. Mm-hmm. So I remember my bishop at the time preaching a sermon about stepping out of your comfort zone. And I'm like, what the heck does he mean by that, you know? And I took it wrong, still being a little spiritually immature. I took it as get out of your comfort zone for dating. Because remember I tell you, my weakness was male relationships and being able to understand the correct partnership with a guy.
One more chance at love. She met her daughter's father through the church. She started hanging out in the wrong way. He wasn't her type, and she describes his looks as Christopher Wallace. We all know Biggie Smalls, right? And the sex? Put it this way, it led to boyfriend remorse.
Before, I would never let a guy in my house. No. You wouldn't even be able to come to my car door. He did take me to restaurants, all that, but again, that wasn't where I knew dating to be. I set up a date and then we had sex after it. That's probably the first date we had sex. It was terrible.
The sex was terrible or just having sex
after? All of it.
Okay.
It was phony, all of it. And I'm honest with that because I know where my mind was. Because people like to say, well, when you was in it, it was all good. My mind wasn't there.
Why wasn't she listening to her own circle of friends? She claimed she was stepping out of her comfort zone when it comes to dating.
I was trying to get back love again. Step out the comfort zone. Trying to see if it was me because I had this type. You know, that was the year of all the Steve Harvey stuff. And so I was like, well, not that chick, you know, it's like I got a type.
Now she found out she was pregnant.
It makes me sick to my stomach. Like, I want a girl to say, seriously. So, when I found out I was pregnant, you know, my son, he was still prone to Dominique's coming home soon. Didn't know when, but he'd come home. Yeah. And so I told my son, hey, you know, I'm pregnant, and you're going to have a sibling. And he was like, oh, in front of my daughter's dad. He was like, oh, great. So Dominique's moving back in? It's Dominique's baby? We're getting back together? And I'm not mad at him because that's the only man that I've ever let him be, you know, exposed to.
Yeah.
So my daughter's father was like, and I was like, well, that's to him, that's his father. And I would never take that away from him.
Yeah.
No way. Because I know what it means for him, and that's between them. And that's respect, not you don't cross that line.
Right.
And so I never paid attention to any of the red flags, any of them. I mean, this must have been the worst red flag season of my life.
She missed all the red flags.
See, I sat him down in Indian style. That's when the boldness of me on standing on my word came. I said, look, I know what I'm going to do with my son's father. I'm telling you that we ain't married. I don't plan on marrying you. So when my child touched the ground, we're going to court. I'm getting sole custody, and that's going to be that. That's how it's going to work. You have no option. I'll give you visitation, but that's how it's going to go. I really don't care what you feel about it. Because I knew what I had been through.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to make sure he knew. Bruh, this ass won't go.
So by doing that and saying that, you saying it's over, like this is the only bond we share?
No, I was just letting him know that because we're not married, I have to be realistic with you.
Okay.
I'm going to make sure I have legal protection because at the end of the day, I'm not a choice. I have to be your mom. You as a dad, as I've seen, can get up and roll. So I'm going to tell you how it's going to go. Maintain my sanity. You choose to do whatever you choose to do, because I still have to move forward regardless.
The abuse started early. The abuse even continued while she was pregnant. Maisha went through domestic violence, but came out with the spirit of love that is thicker than water.
The abuse happened with him. It started early. I was probably I was 2 weeks pregnant. And maybe a little bit before that. And we were in his room. Ugh. And we were talking about something, and I was just fussing. I was like, da, 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 da. And next you know, my face is turned down the bed, and he choking me. And I'm like,
How far along were you in your pregnancy?
I was early. I was probably maybe a month.
Oh, okay.
And I was just like, wait a minute. You know, your brain is like, what? Wait a minute. No, wait a minute. He's supposed to be a church guy. Like, what the? You know, I went through all this and I pushed him off. Like, are you freaking crazy? Like, I got irate. Are you freaking crazy? It was 20 things that went through my mind. First of all, you know what I've been through. Second of all, you're supposed to be a church dude.
He choked her.
You know this is about to be war, right? You know? And he was like, you know, just started bucking it. And I'm just like, I'm psychologically not scared. Like, I'm the type of, like, the crazy type of female that if you, like, I have a switch that turned to, like, you know, I'll kill you first, right? And the bad thing was, it happened with his family. It was in the next room. So I get up and go tell him, like, yo, he just choked me up. Like, this is how y'all roll? And then, like, you know, he probably just got upset. I was like, I'm leaving right now. Missed the red flag.
It happened 3 times more while she was pregnant.
The last time that it was really got serious before my daughter was my weekend of my birthday. Never forget it. Because I had really bad asthma. And so it was really hot that year. I mean, the heat wave that year was ridiculous. This was 2011, obviously. And my truck had issues. I had a Jeep. And the alternator was out, so the truck was overheating and all of this stuff. And we had just had a serious disagreement because I learned over him. My demeanor, who I thought he was, just started to go down, 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 down. So I had no respect, no verbal respect for him. Like, it was like, nigga, you fat slob, go away. I don't care. You know, whatever I thought came out.
Right.
And I could care less how he felt about it. But his thing was, you know, I'm not losing her. I'm not letting her go. You know, it's a good thing. Now, I can say now, at 32, I understand what his brain was doing. His brain was going, man, I can't lose because, you know, I ain't never had him this good. People are looking at me better, man. I'm a different dude now. Whereas before me, they were like, yeah, you a loser, you know? Yeah. So his thing was, if I mess this up, you know, I'm going to be not recognized no more. Nobody's going to pay me attention no more. You know, so he became controlling and abusive. And this is a 300-pound dude.
Mm.
Oh, 6'2". Mm-hmm. Charging at me. And I'm like, okay, Jesus, let me just say my last couple words because I have a feeling I'm not going to make it. You know, and so that time he got really rage. And he literally, okay, people thought I was exaggerating, the police thought I was exaggerating until he got to my house. He literally walked through my front door. We were having an altercation. I locked my door. I was like, yo, go home, get away from me. This 300-pound boy with all this rage, because not knowing he had problems, family problems, he walked through my door. I had hinges on my door, and I had the little safety lock on my door. He walked through my door, and he grabbed me up off the couch, and I will never forget it. I'm off the floor, pregnant, and he was just punching me inside of my head, Just, I mean, his hands are huge, and I'm just like, I'm going to die like this? You know what I'm saying? Nah, I'm not going to die like this. You know, I'm just trying to fight as much as I can, biting. I'm trying to do whatever I thought I could get this thing off of me.
Right.
I'm like, how about that? Imagine because of the circulation from him choking me, I was winded, you know, in and out. So I'm pregnant. So I had to call 911.
She called 911 to make sure the baby was okay. And turns out she was pregnant with twins and lost one.
When I was 10 weeks pregnant, my water had broke at church doing praise and worship. And I found out that I had lost a baby. I was pregnant with twins.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that. And so I had lost one of the babies, and I knew why. I knew why.
Why?
Because of the abuse and the stress.
Okay.
I knew why. And so I looked at him like, okay, now I know what I'm in. You know what I'm saying? And from that day forward, I think I lost myself.
What does it feel like to lose yourself? Maisha said, you know, she's hippie, she's black, she's thick, and 5'9", and has never, never been a size zero in her life.
When I went through the pregnancy, because the abuse kept going on throughout the pregnancy, when I had my daughter, mind you, hold up, back up, because of that situation of losing the baby didn't pass like a normal miscarriage. Okay. I had to stay on bed rest because the baby was still dying and had to pass that way. So it wouldn't affect Nyla because they were fraternal twins.
Okay.
It was two separate sacks.
Okay.
So I had to be on bed rest from, technically it's supposed to be from June. No, it was like maybe April to September when she was supposed to be due. But she came in August, obviously, and because the other baby had to pass on its own.
Okay.
When I say that smell was death, I was just like, God, get me out of this season because I never want to feel like this and smell. I couldn't get out the bed. I had lost so much weight. I'm like 5'9". My normal weight is 195. I was wearing a size zero.
I asked her, what was going through her head when all this abuse was happening?
At the time was, I don't want my son to walk in. I don't want my son to walk in. Because my son had already developed a safety mechanism. He was already protective over me.
Her son never saw anything, but it took 7 years for her to end this relationship.
Being pregnant and having all this abuse, I was like, I don't want my son to come through that door. I don't want my son to see this because I don't know what he will do.
Right.
And so thank God, if I have anything to thank God about other than some other things, I always tell everybody, I thank God my son never saw any of it. For some reason, he was never around. And I say never, he was never around. Even at the point where after I had my daughter, you know, I was stupid. I was so out of myself. And I stay in the situation for a very long time, too long. Mm. So this happened from about 2010. I think I officially got out of it. Even though we weren't in a relationship, I was still there because I was going back and forth, still having stupid conversations, messing. And I officially broke loose 2014 June. Never forget it. You never forget those pivotal dates.
Now the suicide attempts and abuse.
It did get worse. My daughter was 7 months, and that was the second time I tried to commit suicide. I literally tried to jump out the window, and she was in the living room crying because the car seat was flipped over on her because we had had a physical altercation, like physically again. And this was when it got really bad. I mean, he bit me. I had bruises all up my arm, my body. He spit on me and smacked me in my face. He was on top of me, holding me on the bed, just spitting on me, slapping me. And he threatened to shoot me because he was licensed to carry. And he knew that I had a fear of guns or what have you because I had, when I was younger, my cousin, we got stood up at gunpoint and told to strip. So he used everything against me, again, that he knew were my fears. And, you know, he knew I didn't want to die because of my son. I knew that by how he treated me and how his family treated me, they would take care of my daughter. But I didn't know who was going to take care of my son.
Yeah.
So what I thought I was trying to do, when he went to go make a bottle for her, I took a blanket and a pillow and I threw it out the window and I threw my car keys out the window and I began to jump. Like, literally, I was going to jump. If I made it, I made it. If I didn't, whatever. It was like that sacrifice where my son ain't here, so he good. But this is your daughter. So if you do something to her, the law will deal with you. Yeah. I got to get out of here.
She didn't want to be here anymore because it was not life. She told her mom what she did, and her mom was never that emotional support that she needed. So Maisha is going to explain her 3 suicide attempts.
She's never that mom that said, I'm on my way. You know, she's never that, oh my God, my daughter. She was never that mom. She was the mom that goes, well, you know, you can't let the devil have any power. go in the bathroom and clean yourself up and you pray about it and you keep on moving. And I'm like, I'm hurting. The love of my life just left. Do you understand what that means? Whatever, you know. The second time was during my daughter's father's situation. Like I said, I tried to jump out the window. Didn't work. I planned that to a T because I was like, okay, he's in there doing something. You know, I can. He's not focused on what I'm doing. We just heard him move fast, and then it could be over.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, didn't work that way. The last time I tried, you know, I was still dealing with my daughter's father, and I couldn't understand why I was stuck in it because I knew myself. It's like I could see my old self or my refreshed, the person I'm trying to get to. I could see them in front of me, and I'm just like, why can't y'all help me? Why am I stuck here? I don't understand. What is this hold? What is it that is doing to my brain? You know, because I'm
done.
Huh?
Your job wasn't done.
Yeah. That's very obvious right now. I get it now. So I took pills. And again, I'm very intelligent because my mom, she's been in the medical field for a very long time. So I knew what pills to mix.
Oh.
And, yeah. And it wasn't, you know, pop the pill. It was open the cap, put it in, and drink the wine. Or my thing is I would drink NyQuil with pills because it has enough percentage of alcohol in it that it can slow your heart.
Oh.
So, yeah, but it can slow your heart down and then you just be out.
What?
And so it didn't work. And I said, okay, look, God, I really was having these coming. People understand when I say I talk to God, like he is my rock. I say, look, Jesus, look at here, man. Look, bruh, why won't you just let me go? Because I don't understand at this point. What is my purpose? I did not know my purpose.
Yeah.
I had a glimpse of what I wanted to do. Of course, I wanted to help people, but I didn't know how I was supposed to.
Same but different. The cycle always repeats itself. The children's father and even her father. There's a connection.
Neither one of them take care of their kids. I have my daughter's father. He is how my father was, which really hurt me a lot because I understand the cycle. He just picks her up and show her off.
Mm.
And it hurts. It hurts because I don't want her to develop my old self.
She reached out to Dominique for his words of wisdom when she was going through postpartum. And this is what he told her.
When I first had her and brought her home, it was my first time ever dealing with that postpartum crap, baby blues, whatever it's called. Never had that with you. Yeah. But again, I was emotionally weak, but I was mentally strong. I had that knowledge. Somehow it maintained itself in my sanity. And me and Dominic were still talking. As my friend, I called him. I said, I don't want this baby. I'm going to kill her. And I'm okay with that. And he was like, I have never heard you say that about any child because he knows how I am. He knows my heart. I said, but this one, I know how she, the way I have her, the way I had her, like, I don't want her. I don't want to touch her. Like, I don't care. Like, it was just, please, I want her to die. I don't want anything to do with her. And I was so honest. And people were like, how could you say that? Because I'm honest with myself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be honest before you can even start healing. I don't want nothing to do with this baby. You don't know what I survived, what I had to go through. And if this means I'm connected to that forever, I don't want this baby. And I'm willing to go to jail because I don't want this baby. But I'll tell the police I'm going to kill her because I don't even want her living. I don't want the thought of the connection from the abuse. I don't want, it was like I didn't want anything connected to him.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. So I wanted to kill her. And I called him. I knew who to call. And I told him, I said, you know, I need help. I'm serious. I'm not touching her. I'm going to strangle her. That's what's going to happen when I touch her. And he was like, listen to me. You've never, ever been that weak about any kid. And I know you. So I don't know what you're going through right now. But if you do that, I would never respect you again. For some reason, I don't know why, his words still had power or that leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can see, she's 4 years old. Remember the relationship. that you wanted with your mom, you can now have it with your daughter. And so that destroyed everything. That destroyed every pain. I mean, I don't know what it was about him saying it, but after that moment, I said, okay, I can do this. And so I was excited. It was like she just got here on earth again. I was excited. I mean, I bought bow rents, a couple outfits. And I took her out. I mean, we went to parks. We spent hours in parks. We did whatever she wanted to do. As long as she was smiling and she was happy and she knew that I was her mom and we was getting that bond, I was just elated. I got another level of energy, of strength. It was like I became another super mom over top of all the hell that I just went through.
Right.
That was my breakthrough from what I was hurting from my childhood. That was like, wow, God, that's why I tell people you are so awesome, because you have words that can break barriers, that can break chains off of people's hearts. And I'm just like, why do you keep still choosing me?
Her relationship and guidance.
I'm telling you, if I did not have those intimate relationships or moments with God, I know I would be in jail. I know I would be dead somewhere. I know for a fact that I would not be mentally together.
Her recovery from suicide worked for her.
I literally sat in silence. I meditated and I really listened to God. I mean, some people say, oh, you should go to therapy. That's for you. I know me, you know, and I knew that my understanding of certain things was a little bit past what some therapists are. They like to stop at a certain cap. And I'm just like, there's more to that. And I'm so calm with it because, like I said, I've been exposed to so much early on that my brain is like, you're not even being honest with me right now. You have more information that you're trying to hold from me. I don't want that. I would just listen to God and go research it myself. And he will put the people in my area that need to help me heal. And now that I'm more mature altogether, I know how to take from people what God's telling me to take from them. And I know how to give back to people what God's telling me to leave alone. Mm-hmm. And so my healing came from people. Indirectly, my healing came from pure people.
After several breaks, when it comes to dating and where she meets men, she doesn't go out to meet what her worth is. Your words create your atmosphere.
I took a stab at dating a couple times. The worst.
So is it online dating that you're... Because you're so...
No, I don't do that. I'm old-fashioned. I have to see your face. I have to smell you. I have to touch you.
Okay. Where do you...
I'm really in it.
Where do you meet guys then? Like...
That's the problem. I don't meet them. Let me be like this. I don't go out to meet what my worth is.
Right.
I gotta write that down.
True. I got that.
I have settled for what was easy access.
What is that?
I have settled for what is easy access.
Okay.
So say if, like this, say if the last two were easy access. So say like the last one last year, which was retarded, and it's something that has to do with your, that's why affirmations are very important. And your words create your atmosphere. I tell people that every day. Don't say nothing you don't want to come your way.
Exactly. I'm the same
about nobody. Yeah, because that thing that they're dealing with is going to come right on you a lot heavier because you can talk about somebody.
Maisha's in her savage state now. She's out of a relationship. She's dating. And she describes this phase as, you know, when you get your itch off, you scratch it and you go on with your biz. But I'll let her explain.
At this age, at this level, I know the difference. I said, look, is we just going to be savaging, which means I see you when I need to see you get an itch off and we go out on ways. Let me know because I'm cool. You know, mind you, I'm the teacher of celibacy. So, right. So I said, let me just be clear because I don't have time. At this level, I don't have time. Either we're gonna be friends to develop a relationship and you're on the same path, that's what you want, or you just, I got an itch, you need to scratch it and go about your business.
Nina's purpose is to empower women to celebrate women's embarrassing moments. If you're too shy, nervous, or embarrassed to ask about sensitive girly stuff, you're in the right place.
Maisha's transparency moment. She asked, you know, what is my purpose? And here it is.
How much time, how much power have you lost by having sex with men that were not your husband? And that shut me down.
That would shut anybody down.
And I said, yeah, you're giving your body away, but people don't think like this. When you give your body, it's a spiritual tie, and you're losing parts of you to these people, and that's why you are so drained and you can't help yourself.
Yeah.
And when he told me that, I was like, you want me to teach this crazy world that? And I said, I got it. I can keep it to myself. I can get strong. You know, we good. I can teach my kids. We good. He was like, no. You're going to go out and you're going to do this. You told me that you would do whatever I asked you to do because I'm saving your life. I said, see, why you got to bring that up right now? You know, can I use that card later? He was like, no. It's time. This is now. It's time. Your purpose, you asked for it. Here it is.
Affirmations became Maisha's safety mechanism when she was younger. And this became her own words of encouragement.
I would always say, I am not mean. I am not ugly. I am not the victim, or I am not less than. I am worthy. I am beautiful. I'm like that. You know, it was always me saying to myself, not knowing that I was building myself about speaking positive, because people always say, how can you speak positive when we know what's going on with you? I'm like, because I'm not going to be here forever. Like, this is not my life. This is not the dream I have. I am somewhere in real life. I would say, I was telling my mom this too. I say, you know, I always have dreams that I have on this wig, and this is my wig, and this is my costume. And one day, you know, I'm going to wake up and my father, it was out of hurt. I said, my real father, my real mother are going to come get me. I'm going to the Potomac, Maryland. I'm going to live in a big house. My hair is all the way down my back, and I'm going to be a valley girl. Like, that's my life. And so I always spoke positive to myself secretly. And then I would just, like I said, I was just getting in the mirror and looking at me and be like, I'm not ugly. I am so like that. I am better than this.
What
I know I'm
going
to get out of
here.
That was probably 7.
Okay. Because
7 is actually when I gave my life to Christ on my own. Like I said, the spiritual maturity wasn't there yet, but my soul knew what I needed to do. My friends would tell you that I spoke positivity to them, not understanding what I was doing. You know, I just was like, I'm not going to look at the negative. I don't care what it looks like. I know it's going to get better. I am getting out of this. I'm not going to be here. My thing was, I always kept saying, I am not going to do that. This is not the end. There has to be better. I am going to see the best. So the structure of affirmation for me got really tighter when I got to my first townhouse. And I had my mirror. And I would just put stickies of words at first. Words like love, peace, victory, happiness, freedom, sanity, beautiful, luxurious, luxurious. I mean, I was just words that would connect with the vision that I saw in my head. I even put wealthy, I put family wealth, I put husband wealth, I put wife wealth, I put just what I knew I was built to be. I just didn't know how I was going to get to it. So how I reformed it, for my son, his were different. His were, I'm not my father's mistake. I'm not my father. I'm not who I came from. You know, I'm not a statistic. I'm not that statistic boy. I am a man who's he's a boy that's going to be a wonderful man. His were kind of different because I had to build up different areas in his life as far as the male absence part. So my mirror, every time I moved to a new place, the first thing I would do was use my stickies and put my affirmations up.
For her daughter, her approach was slightly different.
Oh, she's so cute, you know, versus saying you are an intelligent black girl, you know, or saying you are going to be a bright, well, she's going to be so cute when she grows up. I'm sorry. She's going to be intelligent. She's going to be knowledgeable. She's going to be powerful when she grows up. She's going to be educated. She's going to be a wonderful woman of God. She's queen. She's Nyla. She is the earth taker. Like, and I would speak that. And she was only like 3 months, maybe 1 year old. And I gave her the nickname Queen. I said, I'm just kidding, she's not a princess, she's a queen. They're like, that's not the right order. I said, no, God told me. That's Queen Nyla. You can call her Nyla. You can call her Honey Baby, but don't demean her to a princess. The princess doesn't know who she is. My daughter came to this earth knowing who she is. Mm-hmm. What she did was teach me who she is. And when a female does that, they're a queen because they know who they are. Princesses are still finding themselves. They still don't know what's going on. But my daughter, she fought to get here. She fought to stay here. That's a queen.
Yeah.
Even though she's a baby, you never take the right of a child when you know who they are when they're born. That's their birthright. You have to raise them up to be secure in their birthright. And that's what's the problem with society.
Learning your child. Maisha says you have to be consistent.
What I did was, I said, come on, we're about to do the affirmations. And at first she was like, I mean, I don't feel like doing that, you know? Because we would do it, you know, softly. I'm like, Janala, what do you do that? She says, I am queen. Like that, because she knew. And I was like, well, because we had these scripture cards in my room, because she was having certain areas of problems in school with her behavior. And I said, God, give me the scriptures and the words to say, so she could say them, so could, you know, memorize in her head, so she can remember these behaviors connected to scripture, so you wouldn't keep doing these behaviors. And we would recite them every day before she goes to school, every day before she goes to school with the scripture. And I remember one day I was just stressed out again, and I didn't pull them cards out. She says, Mommy, I'm not getting out this card until we do our cards. I said, little girl, I gotta go to work. Get out the car. She was like, Mommy, we didn't do our scriptures. My day is not gonna be good until we do our scriptures. Mind you, she was only 4, just turned 4. And I said again, thank you, God, for reminding me that I have to be consistent and that my daughter is watching every move I make.
Right.
And so when he told me to do the affirmations with her, that was not scripted. It was not written down. He gave me every word because it's according to who she is. It's according to what her battles were and are. It's according to what the devil was trying to destroy between me and her as far as the mother-daughter relationship. And when those words came, I said, okay, we're done. Like, I didn't look at it like, oh my God, the world is going to explode. I was like, good, my daughter is solid. She's got this. We got this. Our bond is going to be amazing. I know who she is. I know how to relate with her. I don't say to because she's not a project. She's a person. She's my daughter, so I relate with her. I teach mothers that. So I'm saying relate to is relate with. But you need to grow with her.
So she posted the affirmation video, went to work, and shut her phone off. But this is what happened.
My notifications were like stupid. I thought somebody had died. In my family or something. I was like, well, who do I call back first? You know?
Right.
Then one of my friends that I really pay attention to, she texted me, like, yo, go on Facebook. Your freaking video went viral. I was like, is that it? You know, because I disconnected from the old me knowing social world. I was like, well, this 2016, is that a good thing? You know, because people go viral for bad stuff, and I don't want to be caught up in that. I just got my name cleared in Jesus' name. I just got my same back. I don't want to be in the midst of no light. I just want to stay calm, raise my kids, and be healthy, you know? She was like, girl, heck no. This is awesome. Like, everybody is sharing the video. It's going crazy. I'm like, I'll look at it later, you know, because my humility level was already, like, way beyond the skies. I'm like, whatever, I'm not tripping.
Right.
If it did something good for somebody, awesome.
Her mother-daughter affirmation on Facebook hit over 10 million views collectively on social media. Eva Marcille and Mike Epps are just few of the celebrities who shared her post.
That's what I need. Right. You.
Yeah.
I win.
hustling. I am smart.
Smart.
I am black.
Black.
And beautiful.
Beautiful.
I am me.
Me.
The devil.
Has.
No.
No.
Power.
Power.
I win.
You win.
So when I saw that video for the first time, I realized that my mother never even spoke to me that way, ever, to this day. And I recognize it's a struggle for her, but it touched me. If only mothers talked to their daughters that way from day one, it would minimize half of the insecurities and self-esteem that we experience as women. It's a powerful tool.
If this was my purpose, if this was what it was all for, I make sure that every step I take, every person I talk to, every person I get the honor to talk to, I tell them this is not me. This is definitely a God-driven dream. So that's how we are here. God is very faithful. And I'm awed. I'm just humbled every time someone says they want to speak to me or even create an affirmation for someone. It's very humbling, so I'm honored.
Now Myesha has a goal.
That's the ultimate goal. Like, that's the ultimate goal. I don't want her to ever have that question of, I have the support, do I have the love, and how come do I know who I am and how to be who I'm supposed to be? I'm comfortable with who I am now. I'm comfortable with everything I had to go through to get to here.
You never know what kind of adversities that you're going to be dealt in life. You have to love yourself and take really good care of yourself. Don't let the world tell you to disappear. Myesha displayed a willingness to keep showing up. Most people would break. Thanks, girl, for shedding so much of your light into the dark corners of your life. So the gravity of Myesha's story today makes you really realize you don't have real problems. You really, really don't. Pain is something that we can grow and learn from. There are so many friggin' takeaways that are eye-opening. And the reason behind my desire to share this episode with my listeners today. I hope it resonated. I hope the universe sends this message to the people who need to hear it the most and help you sprint towards your pain. As time goes on, you will understand this. Time solves most things. And what time cannot solve, you're going to learn to solve it yourself. Believe that. And that wraps up another episode of the Keep It 100 Girl Show. Your go-to girlfriend is here to empower you every week and level up your self-confidence so that, you know what, you realize your self-worth. We celebrate embarrassment, self-love, and those life lessons that make you go, sheesh. Life is too short to worry about the stupid people and things that really make us unhappy. Have fun, fall in love, regret nothing, and don't let people bring you down. The fact that you're here, you're being open and vulnerable and honest, is a true testament of what Keep It 100 really means. It means we keep it real and we keep it true. But wait a minute, before you go, gotta give me some love, Girly Nation. If you like this episode or any other ones, kindly leave me a rating and 5-star review in iTunes or Stitcher. I rely on it a lot because it helps me stand out from the large crowd. And it helps men, and even you women, understand us a whole lot better. New episodes of the Keep It 100 Girl Show drop every Tuesday on iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. So if you like my style and my episodes, spread the good word using the handle @NinaBabel on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and Facebook. And you spell my last name, Babe, with an L. Like, hey, babe. If you want to share a story, drop me a line, question, story request, pitch, go ahead and use my email address, Nina@NinaBabel.com. Smith Jazz!